For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Hope in Jesus, as we pick up in Romans chapter 13, verse 11. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
We slept, and the church was sleeping. But it's high time that we wake out of our sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. I really cannot see how we can sink much lower. I really cannot see how we can go on much longer. How many more years can we exist adding $192 billion to the federal debt? How much longer can the banks keep holding Brazil and Mexico and these other countries that are unable to pay their debts? Now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, but the day is at hand. The Bible does face reality, and it does see the darkness of the night, but thank God the Bible gives us a hope. After the dark night is over, a new day is going to dawn, the day of God's glory that is going to cover the earth. And that hope sustains us in the dark night. But let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting or revelry, not in drunkenness, not in immorality and shamelessness, not in strife or in envy. These are all a part of the flesh and the life after the flesh. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. I believe that today there is an evil spirit that has invaded the land. This evil spirit operating through the pornography. I believe that people can become addicted to pornography just as much as they can become addicted to alcohol or to drugs. And it has the same powerful hold over their lives as does alcohol or drugs. They are drawn to it. They're attracted by it. And when they get away from it, they say, I'll never do that again. And they are shamed by what they've done. But somehow they seem to be lured and drawn back to it again. And it can get a hold on a person's life, and he can become a slave to this spirit and power that is there. Operating through this, it can get a hold on a person's life, and you can become a victim, desiring more and more and more and different types of pornography. And it seems to be a progressive thing like drugs and all, where it just, you know, you have to go deeper and deeper and more and more. There are many homes today being destroyed because of pornography, because of the, what Paul called here, chambering or immorality, the Greek koiti, or the desire for the forbidden bed. Many marriages being destroyed today because of incest. Many marriages being destroyed today because of the pornography and these things. And it is tragic to see a person that is a victim of these things. I believe that it is a work of Satan in the last days. And I believe that our only power against it is prayer. I believe that it is definitely a spiritual battle. And the Bible says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds of the enemy. But I think that we have to use spiritual weapons. I don't think that just nagging a person or getting on a person's case for it is going to do it. That's using carnal methods. It is a spiritual battle, and we must combat it with the spiritual weapons that God has given to us. And in this case, that weapon of prayer, an intercessory prayer. Paul tells us that we might take them from the captivity of the enemy who is holding them captive against their wills. If a person opens his mind and opens the door to these kind of things, it can actually get a hold on that person's life. We have an interesting case in the Old Testament where Amaziah had sent his troops against the Edomites. And he had experienced a victory against the Edomites. And so he wrote to the king of Israel in the north, Jehoahaz, and he challenged him to come out and fight. And Jehoahaz sent back a message and said, look, you went down and you had victory over the Edomites. Stay home and enjoy the victory. Why should you meddle to your own hurt? But Amaziah, flushed with the victory over the Edomites, said, come on out, you chicken, and face me, you know. And so Jehoahaz came out with his troops, and they defeated the troops of Amaziah. They came to the city of Jerusalem, and it said, and they took many captives, and they broke down the walls of Jerusalem, and they carried away the treasure out of the temple. Why? Because he didn't have enough sense not to meddle to his own hurt, to meddle in places where he had no business being. And there is a lot of meddling that is going on. As a person begins to meddle with things that he has no right to meddle with as a child of God. And when you do, it is always to your own hurt. And even as they tore down the walls of Jerusalem so that he lost his defenses, so Satan will tear down your walls and you'll begin to lose your defenses against him, and you'll find that you don't have defenses when he comes attacking again. You've meddled around and now you've been defeated and the walls are down and you have no real defenses against the enemy anymore. You're a victim and he is holding you captive. But we are told that we should take them from the captivity of the enemy who is holding them captive against their wills. How do we do that? Through prayer. Satan is holding many people's lives today as captives. Captives of their own lust. But God has ordained that you be the instrument through which God delivers them from that captivity. And it comes by intercessory prayer. Holding that person before the Lord and binding the power of Satan that is holding them captive. We have the authority in the name of Jesus over all the principalities and powers, for they are subject unto him. And when we come against them in the name of Jesus, they must yield. And thus, through the power of the name of Jesus, we can set people free from the captivity of Satan. We can set them free from that binding force that he is exercising over them, that blinding influence that he has. Because people who are being held captive by Satan are also blinded, and they don't even realize their problem many times. For the God of this world, the scripture said, has blinded their eyes, and they cannot see the truth. And so through prayer, I can bind that work of Satan so that their eyes can be open. Through prayer, I can set them free from the power of Satan that is holding them, that influence that is keeping them a slave and captive to those things. And I need to exercise this intercessory prayer in delivering them from the power of the enemy, that they might come into the glorious liberty and freedom in Jesus Christ. Therefore, because we are living in a dark world and the night is far spent, the only way we're going to survive is by putting on the Lord Jesus Christ and not making any provision for our flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It is a heavy spiritual warfare, and it's becoming heavier every day and is going to continue heavier every day until the Lord snatches us out of it. Things are not going to ease up. Evil days, the scripture said, shall wax worse and worse. And Jesus said, because the iniquity of the world will abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Talking about the time of his coming. In fact, he said, when the Lord comes, will he find faith? Yes, he will, if we will determine to walk and to live after the Spirit and put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for our flesh to fulfill the lust of them. How opposite that is from the world today, where the doors have been opened for man to live after his flesh in any manner that his mind can imagine. And we think of the words of Jesus concerning his coming, and as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And one of those conditions of the days of Noah, it said, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. They didn't restrain themselves from anything. And we are living in that kind of an age today where there seems to be no restraints. Men living after the flesh. 14th chapter, Paul deals now with another issue. Him that is weak in the faith, receive, but not to doubtful disputations. Don't get into arguments with them, doubtful disputations. A person who is weak in the faith. And in this case, the person weak in the faith is the one who has very limited or narrow convictions. For one man believes that he can eat anything. Another who is weak in the faith is a vegetarian. There are some religious groups today that advocate being a vegetarian. There are some who believe that we should follow the dietary law of Moses, and thus we shouldn't eat lobster or shrimp or pork, or the other forbidden unclean animals of the Old Testament. But there are others that say, hey, you know, I like pork chops, and I like lobster, you know. So those that are, you know, strong in the faith eat meat. Those that are weak in the faith eat vegetables. Now, should we get in big fights and arguments over this? Should I say to that vegetarian, oh, that's stupid. There's nothing wrong with eating meat. That's just plain dumb. And should he point his finger and say, aha, you can't be a Christian because you're eating meat. Man, God's going to damn you to hell because you're eating meat. You know, it's sad that these kind of things have brought this kind of division within the church. Because someone is convicted of something and they want to convict everybody else of the same thing or make everybody yield to their convictions. Paul says, let not him that eats the meat despise him that doesn't eat meat. And let not him which eats not the meat judge him that eats, for God has received him. So in this matter, our convictions are to be personal things. In these areas where the scripture does not give us precise, definite teaching, there's a latitude. And I am to have sympathetic understanding towards those whose convictions are narrower than mine. And I am also to have a sympathetic understanding for those whose convictions are broader than mine. And that's where I have my problems. I can sympathize with a person who's a vegetarian. You know, that's all right. You know, he doesn't want to eat meat. You know, that's fine. But some fellow who has convictions that are a little broader than mine and is doing some of the things that I don't feel that I can do as a child of God, I have an awfully hard time not judging him. How can he do that? And so that's where my problem lies. No problem dealing with those who have stronger convictions as long as they leave me alone. You know, don't lay your trip on me. But when it is the other way around, how I would love to lay my trip on some people. Rebuke them for the things that they are doing, which they feel a liberty to do. Now, naturally, this is in scriptural limitations. There are things that the scripture tells us are wrong, and with that, there is no question. But in these areas where the scripture does not speak specifically, then we are to have this latitude in the receiving of each other. For who are you to judge another man's servant? You see, who are you to judge me? I'm not your servant. Now, if I were your servant, then you'd have a right to judge me. But I'm the Lord's servant. Therefore, the Lord is my judge, and he shall judge me. In the same token, you are not my servant, so I have no right to judge you. Again, you are the Lord's servant, and so he will judge you. For before a man's own master, he either stands or falls. And Paul says, yes, he will be held up, for God is able to make him to stand. And I like this. God has helped a lot of people to stand that I was sure they were going to fall. The way they were living, I knew they were going down the tube, but God held them up, and he was able to make them to stand. And to the surprise of a lot of people, he's helped me to stand. On the issue of eating meat, but then it also goes over on the issue of the respect of the holy day. For one man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Now, on what day are we to worship the Lord? On Saturday or on Sunday? If we worship on Saturday, are we then to follow the Jewish custom of the day begins at sundown? And should we begin worshiping God on Friday evening as the sun goes down and worship until Saturday evening sundown? Or is Sunday the day that we should worship the Lord? And there were those, and there are those, who are very vehement in their feeling that Saturday is the only day to worship the Lord. And if you worship the Lord on Sunday, that's tantamount to taking the mark of the beast. For Sunday worship is the mark of the beast, because Sunday was actually named after the sun god. Sunday, and thus it was after the sun god. Thus we ought to worship on Saturday. But they don't tell you that that's named after the god Saturn. So one man esteems one day above another. Oh, this is the only day. I'm in the second category here myself. Another esteems every day alike. That's for me. Doesn't matter. I worship God on Saturday or Monday or Wednesday or whenever. Doesn't matter to me what day I worship the Lord. I worship the Lord every day. As far as I'm concerned, every day is the Lord's day. I live my life for Him. And so I worship the Lord every morning. I worship the Lord all the time. And every day is alike to me. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind.
Now featuring a beautifully redesigned cover, The Word for Today presents Reflecting God, an inspiring book by Kay Smith, written especially for women who want to grow in faith and impact those around them. One of the most meaningful ways to reflect God is by sharing His love in everyday life. But what does that truly look like? In Reflecting God, Kay Smith offers powerful biblical insights and real-life examples from her own walk with the Lord. You'll learn how to love, nurture, and pray for those God has entrusted to you. It's perfect for personal reading and an excellent choice for women's Bible study groups or small group gatherings. Let this book encourage you and help you encourage others. Order your copy of Reflecting God today at twft.com or call 1-800-272-9673. That's 1-800-272-WORD.
May the Lord be with you and bless you and keep you in His love and grace. May the Lord watch over you, and may you be filled with His Spirit and walk in the strength and in the power of the Spirit of God as He anoints you day by day. May you be enabled by Him. And may you enter into that fullness that He has for you, walking with the Lord, loving the Lord, listening to the Lord. Alert unto the Lord in these last days when the world around you is walking in its drunken stupor. May your mind and heart be clear, sensitive to God and to the things of the Spirit. In Jesus' name.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Romans on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible, and we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of The Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org. There you'll find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. You can also call us at 1-800-272-9673, or you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Romans 13 through 14. Again, that phone number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way.
This program program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.